Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Cynical series. And today we're blessed to have with us Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and we're going to utilize our supplication, the one that we use on Radio Maria. It's from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31, and it's the soul to the glorious Queen. That's really what we want to say to her as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's not waste any time. Let's go right to Italy with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I'm going to ask them to unmute themselves. I think we're still waiting for San Marino to join us, but hi, Mother. Hi, sisters. It wasn't something I said, was it?
Try, Mother.
Hi, hello. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can.
You can? Okay, good. That was
great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Well, you know, without some small little technical glitch, this really wouldn't be real, right? So it's a good thing. Is San Marino joining us today, Mother?
I think so, yeah. I think
okay. All right, so we'll just wait for them and I'll look for them as well. And again, we're so grateful to be together today. We're again grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we really are truly blessed to be alive at this time. I mean, these are glorious times, and we don't have to look far for opportunities to grow in virtue, opportunities to do acts and rounds in the divine will, and opportunity really to journey forward. So, Mother, any opening thoughts?
Okay, well, I was just reading something here from volume 16, March 13th, 1924, and our Lord was telling Louise, he says, "My daughter, how beautiful and delightful it is to see the creature live in our will. She lives from our reflections, and while living from our reflections, she absorbs the likeness of her creator within herself. So she is embellished, enriched, enlarged, so much as to be able to take everyone and to bring all to us. And she draws so much love from us as to be able to love us for all. And we find in her all our love, which we delivered in creation, our satisfaction, our contentment, and the return of our works. Our love for the soul who lives in our will is so great that by virtue of our will, the soul becomes that which we are by nature. We pour everything into her. Not even a fiber do we leave out, which is not filled of our own. We fill her so much as to make her overflow, forming divine rivers and seas around her. And we descend into these seas to amuse ourselves, admiring our works with love and feeling fully glorified. So how much God loves those who live in his will. I mean, he loves everyone, but we become like him as more and more as we live in his divine will. We take on his likeness. We take on his virtues. We try to practice virtue all the time. We try to change on our own, but we can't. Only God can do it. God does it in a much better way than we ever could, if we allow him to live in us, to relive his life within each one of us. That way, if we call him into everything we do throughout the day, we're thinking about him. We're glorifying him in just one little thought of him. And so as we continually think about him all day long, we're praying always. Your whole day is a day of prayer. You don't have to be running to the chapel. I mean, we spend time before the Blessed Sacrament a lot here. You know, our life is, we're called to a life of prayer. But for those people out there who don't have a lot of time to spend in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament. They can pray always too, all the way, all day long, everything you do. If you're realizing him doing it within you and you're consciously aware of that, you're talking to him within you throughout the days you do it, whatever you do all day long, you're going to find how you become transformed and you become more and more like him. You're living a life of contemplation, really, because you're contemplating him all day long. Even though you're not quietly praying, you're contemplating our Lord throughout the day as you contemplate him within yourself, doing everything in and through you. Anybody want to share something with your mother?
Mother, if I can just stop in a little bit. I think we're having the same little dilemma we had on Radio Maria. It seems like the PC mic is picking you up and not the handheld mic. Now we have no mic. I should have been quiet. No, maybe Sister Scholastica, on the bottom left-hand corner where you see the microphone icon, if you can click on the up arrow, and then go to microphone. Make sure that the handheld microphone is the one selected. Sometimes it defaults to a previous version of whatever you were using.
Try something now, Magdalena.
Okay, hello. Can you hear?
Yeah, it's good, okay. But I don't think it's...
Okay, hold on.
Try now.
Hello, test mic.
Yes, that's perfect. Okay.
That's very it? Good.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Lord.
Did you hear me when I was talking, or you couldn't hear anything?
No, we did, Mother, but you just didn't sound as good as you always do.
It's clear. Okay. Well, I just wanted to also continue what Mother is saying. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, we hope we're able to read what it is. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us, Mother. And it's true. Mother was talking about continuous prayer, and boom, I opened my book and it landed on continuous prayer. It's divine providence, you know. This reading that I had is from volume 4, July 28, 1902, and it's titled A Spirit of Continuous Prayer. So it's kind of like a continuation of what Mother was reading earlier. And I, continuing in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself, and I found my adorable Jesus, who, not wanting to show me the troubles of the world, told me, "My daughter, withdraw. Do not want to see the evils most grave which are in the world." I stop here because we all know what trouble the world is facing right now. And this is speaking to me, and I think this is speaking to all of us. The Lord is telling us to withdraw from the trouble of the world. Do not pay attention to what's going on in the news. It's good to know them, but we shouldn't dwell ourselves in them. This is what the Lord is saying. Withdraw. Do not want to see these evils most grave which are in the world. And on saying this, he withdrew me himself. And while carrying me, he repeated, "What I recommend to you is a spirit of continuous prayer." This is from the Lord to Luisa and to us. He said, and he continued, "The continuous effort of the soul to converse with me, whether with her heart or with her mind, with her mouth, or even with a simple intention, renders her so beautiful in my sight that the notes of her heart harmonize with the notes of my heart. I feel so drawn to converse with this soul, and I manifest to her not only the works ad extra or external of my humanity, but I keep manifesting to her something of the works ad intra or interior, which the divinity did in my humanity. Not only this, but the beauty that a spirit of continuous prayer makes her acquire is so great that the devil is as though struck by lightning and remains frustrated in the snares he lays in order to harm the soul." Having said this, he disappeared, and I found myself inside myself. So beautiful, because, you know, this is the time of Lent, the time of reflection, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I this is kind of like a broad topic, but I just would like to focus on prayer since Mother mentioned that. And I also feel strong in my heart that I need to really sit and meditate more on prayer. And one time I was in the chapel, I said, "Lord, I wanted to just have this grace of continuous prayer, but sometimes I'm just sleepy or tired or distracted." But then again, what Mother said, if we pray in everything we do. And Jesus says here, whether in words, thoughts, or even the intentions. So we don't really have to fret over the words we say or anything else. If we just do everything in divine will, allowing Jesus in his humanity, do it for us, whether we are asleep, working, praying in words, thinking, resting, anything about us. That is Jesus himself in us if we do that in divine will. And it gives more joy to Jesus, more prayer. And you know, Peter, some time ago, you talk about how the book of heaven is not contradicting the Bible, because the Bible and the divine will, they're not contradicting to each other. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, St. Paul was speaking to Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. And that's basically a short verse. And this is how we pray without ceasing, by praying in the divine will in any ways or forms. So that, and also Jesus and Mary in the book also, they talk about prayer without ceasing.
Yeah, you know, I think, sister, it was actually Jesus where he said that nothing contradicts. I think is when he was, I'll find the passage when I can, when he was explaining, when he was categorizing the book of heaven as the gospel of the kingdom, like it is in Matthew 24, 13, 14. He says, in no way does it deviate, does it contradict the scripture, the gospel, or anything else given. And that's very true. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, Father Annuzzi's dissertation, where he took all of Luis's writings and had to prove that everything was grounded in our Catholic faith. So again, there's no ambiguity there. Thanks be to God, because that could be something that could be detrimental to the cause, but it's not. So that's a great thing.
Exactly. And like we in our community, we do prayer, and of course we pray all the time, but we also add some penance, mortification, and that's fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. And also it's in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, I think 21, around there, I forgot. But Jesus says there are some evils in the world that can only be mitigated by prayer and fasting. Prayer. So it's not all of these, when we do this, apart from divine will, as Jesus was saying this in that time where people didn't know anything about the divine will yet, if that was effective then, how much more if it is effective now? That we know the divine will, that we are doing that in divine will. When Jesus fasted in the desert, if now we fast and we pray and we say, Jesus, I pray and fast in the desert, do it in me again. How much powerful is that? Right.
And he gave us an example of that too. I think when the apostles tried to cast out demons and they were unsuccessful, and he said prayer and fasting. You know, really, it's the two things that are. I mean, for myself, I overlook both of those at times. And you know, the prayer is so important. And we're having a little bit of difficulty with the microphone again. I think that the cord is engaging some static. Not all the time. I think when it's in a in a steady position, it's okay. So we'll have to reconcile that somehow after the program. But it's not a deal breaker. Yeah, it's fine. It's just occasional.
Okay.
We can grow in virtue.
Your facial expression, I wonder what is going on.
Maybe we need to get it. This
How
is
do you
a very
know I'm not
cheap.
In pain.
Sorry about that.
The sisters in San Marino are having technological problems, so that's why they're not on.
Join the band. That's okay. We'll pray for them to be with us, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So I was just reading here from volume 11. It's March 13th, 1912. Our Lord was saying, my daughter, the baptism at birth is by water. It has the virtue to purify, but not to take away tendencies and passions. On the other hand, the baptism of victim is baptism by fire. Therefore, it has not only the virtue to purify, but also to consume any passion and evil tendencies. I myself baptize the soul bit by bit. My thought baptizes the thought of the victim's soul. My heartbeat baptizes her heartbeat, my desire, her desire, and so on. This baptism is done between myself and the soul, according to whether she gives herself to me without ever taking back what she gave me. This is why, my daughter, you don't feel evil tendencies and such. It comes from your state of victim. And I tell you this for your consolation. So tell Father G to be well attentive. For this is the mission of missions, the apostolate of apostolates. I want him always with me and all intent within me. So as God calls each one of us to be victims, actually, he's calling each one of us to be victims in different ways. Everybody has a cross to suffer, different crosses. And suffering the smallest cross in his divine will, inviting Jesus to suffer it in you, makes it a big cross, makes it a big, big gift given to him. So in that way, everyone becomes a great victim soul, you know. And he says, as we live our victim soul life, as we're chastised, no matter what way we're chastised through the cross, we grow in virtue. We grow in virtue. We die to our passions. That's why how we die to our passions. Mortification. Right now, sister was just talking about mortification. But during Lent, you know, we give up things. We mortify ourselves, whether it's television. A good thing for you to give up right now is watching the news. You know, that would be a mortification for many people who are very curious. Padre Pio said the greatest detriment to the spiritual life is curiosity. And I think many times we watch the news because we're curious. We want to see what's happening, you know. And after you watch the news and you see what's happening, what do you do about it? You know, how can you change it? It did took up some of your time that you could have been using to pray or to do other things that God might want you to do or read your divine will. So you used up maybe an hour's time watching news. And in the end of that time, what did you accomplish? Did you change anything? You might be watching the war going on in between Ukraine and Russia. And you know, did you change anything by watching it? I mean, you can pray for those people, but you can pray for them without even watching the news, you know. So a lot of times we'll waste time. People say, I don't have time to read much of the divine will. Well, what do you do with your day? How much time do you spend on things that you don't need to do, like watching television? So I think we have to order our time. Our time is a gift from God. We have so many minutes to live in a lifetime, so many hours, so many days. And every minute, every hour, every day that you live is gone forever. You can't bring it back. It's done and over with. So every minute of your life is a gift from God. And at the end of it, how are you going to show what you did with all that time that he gave you with your life? How did you use it? Did you use it to give him honor and glory? Or did you use it to entertain yourself in different things that you really didn't need to do, you know? So I think we have to just realize the great gift and the value of time and use it wisely, you know, and realize this is, what does God want me to do? If you can live in his will, you have to say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this moment? What should I do now? You may have different things you can do. What would God want you to do? And you have to think about really honestly, speak to yourself in this way, say, really, what would God want me to do? I have these three things I can do. What would he want me to do? And that's how you live in his will, doing what you think he wants you to do. If you honestly think that's what he wants you to do, then you're doing his will, you know.
Mother, before we move on, I'd like to pause for a moment because I think what you just stated is so really vitally important to the time we're in now and lack thereof time. You know, great advice, great admonition. The souls in purgatory reminded us that if they had a regret, if they could regret, their regret would have been not making better use of the time while on earth, you know, the frivolous stuff. We can't invent 25 hours in a day, but like you said, Mother, we can reallocate better use of that time. And it reminded me of quickly, if I may, what St. Thomas Aquinas said. He was talking about the heavenly moment, and that's where we're in right now, because we're able to live heaven on earth. That's the opportunity that God's giving us. This is what St. Thomas Aquinas said, quote, "The heavenly moment will end in an instant. And in that instant, there will be the end of movement and the beginning of eternal rest. The subsequent rest will not be in time, because rest is measured by time, not directly, but indirectly. Even as the celestial movement will cease, so also will time be no more, as appears from the text quoted from the Apocalypse. At the beginning of the world, nature was being established. At the end of the world, the operation of nature will attain the end appointed by God," end quote. So again, Aquinas understood that everything in creation, again, is there for us to journey back to the order, the place, and the purpose. And once we arrive there, everything is fulfilled its duty, so to speak, to God. So great point there, Mother, you made. That's why I wanted to pause there.
Well, I think what helps, too, to regulate your time and to not waste time is make yourself a schedule. We live by a scheduled life. Monastic life, we live by a schedule. So you have to do every day what you plan, what the schedule tells you to do, you know. So you have your time for your spiritual reading. We have time for adoration. We have time to do everything. But people out in the world can make a schedule. Well, what are they going to do today? Now, God may change your plans. That's okay, you know. But if you say, now, okay, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to get up a half hour earlier so I can have this time to pray, to be with Jesus, or maybe, you know, to read the divine will, you know, you're going to eat breakfast, what you're going to have to do. Make yourself a little schedule and try to stick to that schedule. And you're not going to be wasting time. If you ask Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to help you write out your schedule according to his will, what would he want you to do throughout the day? If you have children, you know what you have to do with children. You know all that the things you have to do, cooking or whatever. You have a plan. You have a plan and you stick to it as much as you can. And if the doorbell rings and somebody comes, well, God is changing your plan. That's okay. If you can live in his will, you're going to be hospitable. You're going to be charitable. You're going to invite him in. You're going to be kind. You're going to realize you're treating Jesus here. You're visiting with Jesus. So you can spend that time with him. So you won't be taken away from him. You're just doing something different than what you had planned. But I think if people make a plan, they'll have more time for spiritual reading. They'll have more time to pray. You can read the scriptures. You can have the family rosary. Make time in your schedule for your family rosary. If you start praying with little kids when they're little, it'll be easier to pray that rosary with them when they get to be teenagers. But if you try to throw it at them when they're teenagers, it's kind of hard. You know, it's still possible. But, you know, I think that if you train your children from the time they're very little, teach them about God, have a scheduled time of prayer or reading scripture or praying the rosary with your children, I think you will never regret it. You're going to have better children. You're going to have children that are going to always love the Lord. As long as it's not shoved down their throats, it's done with love and respect for each other. I think that you'll see a big change in your family, you know. So it's important to do that. And if you can't get your husband or your wife to pray with you, pray alone, but pray your rosary for your family. Make time to do that. Make yourself a schedule. Sometimes, you know, people need to exercise, walking. You can pray your rosary while you walk. Two birds in one shot, they say. You know, you can get your exercise done and you can pray your rosary and you can enjoy nature all at the same time. Make a little schedule. Take time for yourself. That's what God wants you to do, to regulate your time and to feel fulfilled that way, physically, spiritually, mentally, psychologically. You're helping yourself. When you read the divine will, you're helping yourself not only spiritually, but mentally, psychologically, because it makes you happy. It makes you relax. It gives you peace. So you're helping yourself in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Live every day like it's our last. Thank you, Mother, for that.
I was just reading from the volume 14, September 5th, 1922. The soul who lives in the will of God must enclose all of creation within herself. Now, know that I have enclosed and fixed the creation in you. I want that which was done in heaven have life upon earth, but in our own will, which ascending to us again, may bring it to us all love, full of light and beautiful as we delivered it. This is why I marked in you all the deaths and pains of each creature, and all creatures together, so that I might find the whole creation in you. And since heaven remains open between you and us, you will bring creation onto our lap, as if it were delivered by you, that is, as a birth from our will made in you, which you bring back to our feet, delivering it on our lap. These are our rights that we claim. All we want is that which came out from us enter into us. It is true that our will alone, acting in a soul with its power, just as it acted in that void when we delivered creation, will be able to give us back our rights and make the whole creation smile at us, at our feet, as though in triumph. But we want to use this power so that we may not remain disappointed in the work of creation. And our love triumphs more in taking from one creature that which all should give us. Now we are fixing everything in you. Then the other little births will be delivered, which, loving to live in this way in our will bring unto our lap. some of them 10, some 20, some 100 measures of the creation. You will be like a tree which has sunk its roots deep into our will. And these roots will make other saplings germinate, which, surrounding the tree like a crown, will produce their fruits. True good never remains isolated, and since my will is the greatest good, its fecundity will be immense. Therefore, courage, be attentive in everything. It is true that our will do everything, but the thread of yours must run together with it and extend into heaven, on earth and in everything, to let us accomplish what we want to operate in you. So really, I found that this chapter astonishing because Jesus tells Luisa, the one that, who lives in the divine will, encloses in itself the whole creation. So all the pains, all the deaths, everything in himself. So this really gives us an opportunity for example, what I do practically, when I hear about someone suffering, I try to bind this suffering united with Jesus's and Mary's suffering and offer it for the glory of God, for the redemption of souls. And also in these times that we are living now, as I was reading now the book of Revelation, I was talking about that the last time a little bit. So I sequenced it. So each day I kind of take one part of it and do the acts and rounds for that part, for the first seal, for example, and then the next day for the second seal, and like that. And I all the acts and rounds that I do from that day, all the little mortifications and the Holy Mass also, especially, I offer especially for all the creatures and acts from that sequence of Revelation, and also especially for the, as I said, no suffering should go in vain. Like when we hear about someone suffering, to use it, to offer it to God the Father for the salvation of souls, because I think we are called to be a priest for creation, as Jesus said to Luisa, a kingdom of priests, as it says in the Bible, to be continuously offering all these acts from whole creation, to God the Father in His will. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sister. We really are living. We're living the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We really are. Father Gobi even said that. I mean, that's a huge, the Mary movement of priests is huge. I think a couple hundred thousand people and many, many thousand priests. And he said at the end, he said in 1996, it's on the website, he says, all of this that Our Lady's been talking about, the era peace, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, all of this will not occur until everyone is living in the divine world. He said that. And he mentions Luisa by name as well. So Mary is really, this is the era of Mary. And I think Pope Francis has mentioned that also. He actually mentioned the school of Mary, not us, of course, but it's Mary's lessons. It's like St. Louis de Montfort said also, it was Mary who brought Christ into the world. It'll also be Mary who brings Christ to the world through the divine will. Sister? Welcome back, sister.
Hello. I was reading the Passion book. This is the fourth hour when Jesus instituted the Eucharist. Is this not your intent in imprisoning yourself in the host in order to be released by the souls who receive you, becoming alive in them? And now, as a sign of love, bless me, give the mystical kiss of love to my soul while I remain clasped and clinging to you. Oh, my sweetheart, I see that after you have instituted the most holy sacrament and have seen the enormous ingratitude and the offenses of the creatures at the excesses of your love. Although wounded and embittered, you do not draw back. Rather, you want to draw everything in the immensity of your love. I see you, Jesus, as you administer yourself to your apostles, and then you add that they too must do what you have done, giving them authority to consecrate. So you ordain them priests and institute the other sacraments. You take care of everything and you prepare for everything, the sermons badly given, the sacraments administered and received without disposition, and therefore without effects, the mistaken vocations of priests on their part and on the part of those who ordain them, not using all means in order to discern the true vocations. Nothing escapes you, O Jesus, and I intend to follow you and to repair for all these offenses. Then after you have given fulfillment to everything, you gather your apostles and set out for the garden of Gethsemane to begin your sorrowful passion. I will follow you in everything to keep you faithful company. So Jesus, he instituted the Holy Sacrament before he departed for the Garden of Gethsemane and all the sacraments. And he is still there in our chapel, in every host, in every tabernacle. And he's there to give life to all of us, whether they are Catholics or non-believers, atheists. He's there to give light and life. So we gotta be, so he's hiding in that blessed, in that host. And so we also have to be hiding in there with him in order to give light and life with our prayer and penances. So then what should we do? We gotta imitate Jesus. Like Sister Magdalena said, prayer is not only that we sit it before the Blessed Sacrament or that we set aside time to pray, but our thinking, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our heartbeat affections, desires, our heartbeats, everything can be our prayer. We have to hide it in Jesus. And so that it become Jesus's. So we have to combine ourself with Jesus so that everything becomes those of Jesus. So we got to pray to Jesus to give the grace and salvation and love to all of them that we are praying for. So we have to unite our life with Jesus' life so that we can exchange his life with our life. So we got to remember that the primary tabernacle is within us. We are the walking tabernacle. And as the woman, the pregnant woman carries the baby in their wombs, we have Jesus in us. So if we think that he is with us, as if we were the pregnant woman, then we act differently because he is in us. Then we think more once more, like before we do something or before we say something, we got to remember, then we remember that Jesus is with us and it's going to help us to do more virtues. And whenever we do the virtues like patience or humility or obedience, meekness, we are taking those virtues from Jesus and we are performing those his virtues. So he gives us himself as food and we gotta give him food. We gotta give him our love, our intentions, our desires, our hopes, and our thoughts as food so that we can grow holy thoughts in us, and then we can imitate more Jesus.
Yeah, well said. You know, especially when you said about not reacting, you know, to take that pause to respond, not react. Two quick points, if I may, mother and sisters. You know, when you mentioned about the sacraments, it being instituted at the Last Supper, Jesus also reminds us that that was also a seed that was placed for us, the end game, which is to bring us back to the divine will. It's in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. I know we read it often. I sound like a broken record. He says, therefore, there's nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted and the many graces given to my saints have been the seeds, the means to let man reach this possession of my will. So again, everything given to us for a purpose. And last but not least, you mentioned the Last Supper. Again, the words of mystics help us better understand what has already occurred and been given to us. In the City of God, Blessed Mary Agreda, I think it's in book four, she talks about the Last Supper. And do you know who the first one to receive communion was after Jesus instituted the Blessed Sacrament? It was his Blessed Mother, Mary. The angel Gabriel came down from heaven and gave our Blessed Mother the first communion to designate Mary as Queen of the Church. Sisters?
Yeah, so...
Hi, Grace.
Hi. yeah, so it's very important to, like, want to live in the divine will, to be also very childlike. And to also remember that that Jesus is with us whenever we do things, and to do our best to also manage time and to realize that life is so short and it's so important to do as many acts and rounds in the divine will as we can, when as much as we can remember in the short time we have. And today in the divine will from volume 29, from October 4th, 1931, Jesus tells Louisa about the night and day of the soul. And my beloved Jesus repeated with the most tender tone, my daughter, you must know that just as nature has the night and the day, so the soul has her night, the dawn, the daybreak, the full midday, and her sunset. The night calls for the day, and the day for the night. It can be said that they call for each other. Now, the night of the soul are my privations, but for one who lives in my will, these are precious nights, not of slothful rest, of restless sleep, no, no, but night of operative rest, of peaceful sleep. In fact, as she sees the night coming, she abandons herself in my arms to lean her tired head upon my divine heart, and to hear my heartbeat so as to draw new love during her sleep, and say to me while sleeping, I love you, oh my Jesus. So reading this paragraph, it kind of reminded me of the Dark Night of the Soul. And it just reminds me of, like, even though you may not always have these, like, happy feelings throughout the day when you're praying, it's also important to realize that it's what's in the heart that matters, and to not be discouraged, and to realize that even if you don't know that much what to pray, if you're going through like a dark night of the soul or through any spiritual dryness, just to keep on doing acts and rounds in the divine will, and keep on just saying, I love you, oh my Jesus. And continuing here, the sleep of one who loves me and who lives in my will is like the sleep of a little girl who, as she feels her eyes closing for sleep, half asleep calls, Mama, Mama, for she wants her arms and her maternal breast in order to sleep. So much so that as soon as the tiny little one wakes up, the first word is Mama. The first smile, the first gaze is for her Mama. Such is the soul who lives in my will. She is the tiny little girl who, as the night comes, looks for him whom she loves to draw new strength and new love in order to love me more. And oh, how beautiful it is to see her seeking, desiring, longing for Jesus in her sleep. This seeking, desiring, and longing call for the dawn, form the daybreak, and make the full day arise that calls for the sun.
and I rise and form the course of the full day and its full midday. So reading this passage is really important to remember to be just very small and childlike, because it's those little souls, the ones that are emptied of themselves. It's easier for the little souls to do God's will and to live in it than for those big souls that are puffed up with pride. So it's really important here to be just very childlike and just to be like this little girl as read in this passage.
And you mentioned the rounds and acts again and again. We're so grateful that Mother continues to remind us of that. Just a reminder of the rounds are actually in audio as well. Carol, who's a beautiful soul, who's actually joining us right now from Texas, she has put the rounds in audio with video too, but even if it's just the audio. So perhaps if you have an obligation to do, if you want to multitask while you're doing, I do it. I do the dishes in the house. So when I'm doing dishes, I listen. So, you know, again, we can listen while we work, you know, whistle while we work, or we can listen while we work.
Yeah. Well, all 36 volumes, our Lord over and over talks to Luis about acts and rounds and divine will. And, you know, so that's how this really tells you, it's the only way to live in it, to live in the divine will. You have to do acts and rounds, mostly your acts all day long, recalling him into everything that you do and realizing his presence. It's the divine indwelling, to realize the divine indwelling, that you're walking tabernacle, like Sister said, and that, you know, he lives within you. So he is doing everything in and through. And he just wants you to talk to him there, be aware of his presence within, and you'll be praying always. I was just reading in volume 15 here, March the 12th, 1923, it says, I felt I was dying of pain because of the privation of my sweet Jesus. That was the greatest suffering that Louisa experienced. And it's the greatest suffering you can experience on earth, having seen him, being with him, and being deprived of him. That's the greatest suffering in purgatory. It's like a burning away of the soul, like a dying, but you can't die. And that's what Louisa experienced. The soul's in purgatory. That's a purification that takes place. They long to be with God, but can't be with him. They've fallen in love with him so much, and they're dying. They're already dead, but they're dying to be with him, you know. And so that's a terrible, terrible suffering. If he comes at all, she says, it is like a flash that exists, that escapes. Then, as I could not take any more, having compassion for me, he came out from within my interior. And as soon as I saw him, I said to him, so he came out of the interior, because that's where he is with you too. He wasn't just in Luisa's interior. He's in your interior too, and everyone's. He said, my love, what pain. I feel I am dying without you, she says, but dying without dying, which is the hardest of deaths. I don't know how the goodness of your heart can bear seeing me in a state of continuous death only because of you. Luisa was so frank, so honest with him. And Jesus says, my daughter, courage. Don't lose heart too much. You are not alone in suffering this pain. I too suffered it, as well as my dear mama. Oh, how much harder than yours. How many times in my moaning humanity, although it was inseparable from the divinity, in order to give place to expiation, to pains, since these were incapable of touching it, I remained alone. And the divinity was as though apart from me. Oh, how I felt this privation, but it was necessary. How much more Jesus suffered than anyone could ever suffer. To be God and to become man, it's like one of us going into a dog. Bishop Sheen gave that analogy. He said, it's like for God, Jesus to become man, it's even more difficult than us going into a dog and becoming a dog. And having all the other dogs kill you, you know, that's what happened to Jesus. It says, you must know that when the divinity issued the work of creation, it also issued all the glory, all the goods and happiness that each creature was to receive, not only in this life, but also in the celestial fatherland. Now, the whole part which was destined for souls who are lost remained suspended, having no one to whom to give itself. Therefore, having to complete everything and absorb everything into myself, I offered myself to suffer the privation which the very damned suffer in hell. Can you imagine Jesus offered, he suffered the same sufferings as the souls in the damned souls in purgatory are suffering. Oh, how much did this pain cost me? It cost me pain of hell and ruthless death, but it was necessary, having to absorb everything into myself, everything that came out of us in creation, all the glory, all the goods and happiness, so as to let them come out of me and enter the field again for all those who wanted to enjoy them. I had to absorb all pains and the very privation of my divinity. Now, having absorbed into myself all these goods of the whole work of creation, being the head from which every good descends upon all generations, I keep searching for souls who are like me in pains and in works, so as to let them partake in so much glory and happiness which my humanity contains. And since not all souls want to enjoy them, nor are all of them empty of themselves and of the things of down here, I keep searching for souls to whom I may make myself known and then withdraw, forming this pain of my privation in these voids of themselves and of their acquired knowledges of me. In the privation she suffers, the soul comes to absorb into herself this glory of my humanity, which others reject. Had I not been almost always with you, you would not have known me nor loved me and would not feel the pain of my privation, nor could it form in you the seed, and the nourishment of this pain would be missing in you. Oh, how many souls are without me, and maybe they are even dead. They grieve if they are deprived of some little pleasure, of whatever trifle, but they have no pain, and not even a thought, if they are deprived of me. So this pain would console you, because it brings you the sure sign that I have come to you, that you have known me, and that your Jesus wants to place in you the glory, the goods, and the happiness which others reject. So if you're going through a dark night of soul, you're seeking God, you don't feel his presence, you pray, you sit there anyway, and you don't feel all these gooey, wonderful spiritual feelings that you felt at the beginning of your conversion, that's a good sign. That means you've grown in prayer, that he can trust you with just adoring him without all of these consolations. He gave you consolations at the beginning because he was wooing you. And after he's got you and he knows you love him, he pulls away so that you want to give to him. You want to console him and sit there without the feelings. And so that's true love. So if you're feeling that, that means you've grown. You've grown in holiness. You've grown in prayer. And that's when you grow in prayer even more, when you sit before him and you don't feel anything, but you continue to stay there. You continue to pray. You continue to seek him and to adore him, you know. So don't feel bad if you don't feel his presence. That's a good sign that he's trusting you very much with knowing that that he loves you, just knowing it, just, you know, trusting his love and his mercy, knowing that he loves you without having feelings is a great thing. The Lord loves that. He just, you know, if you just say, I love you, even if you don't have the feelings, you say it over and over and again, he's tickled pink over that. Just one little thought of him excites God so much because he has such tremendous love for you. And that's why he pulls away sometimes, because he wants you to grow. If he continues to paint for you everything you want, all the good feelings you want, you will never grow in prayer. You will never grow in the spiritual life. You won't grow in holiness.
I found a passage that continues to what you said, Mother, here in volume 4, again, July 31, 1902. And it's true charity must be disinterested. This is what you said, Mother. Uh-huh. True charity is disinterested. You continue to love God, whether you have feelings or not. And it's a very short passage. So I'll go ahead and read it. Jesus to Louisa, he said, my daughter, true charity must be disinterested on the part of the one who does it and on the part of the one who receives it. If there is interest, that mud produces a smoke which blinds the mind and prevents one from receiving the influence and the effects of the divine charity. This is why in many works that are done, even holy, In many charitable cares that are performed, one feels as though a void, and they do not receive the fruit of the charity they do. So it's very important that, like Mother said, to have a disinterested love. Only one focus is to love Jesus. It has nothing to do with loving ourselves. Of course, that if we do feel good about it, it's a gift from God. Right. And if we don't feel anything about it, then it's our gift to God. Right. So sometimes I do pray and I feel dry and I tell Jesus, Jesus, you owe me big time on this. Well, you know, I just feel like I can, you know, when we grow closer to God, when our relationship is intimate, there is no fear, you know, there is honesty. And you can say that, I guess, you know, in imitation of Louisa sometimes, you know, like, okay, Lord, you know what I feel. I really don't feel like praying. I don't have any feelings. I feel dry, but I'm here anyway. And I'm offering myself to you, my prayer, my intentions, even though I don't feel anything.
You know, mother and sister, I think that dryness sometimes is self-inflicted. You know, we make this very complicated and ought not to be. I think that's what Jesus means by be childlike. I like to be childish, but that's not good. But be childlike because, you know, the child is very simple. The child obeys, the child believes. And if we do all those things, this is pretty easy. It really is. I mean, it sounds difficult, but it really is. I mean, because God is really doing the work. This is impossible without the grace and graces from God through his blessed mother. Sisters?
Okay, so the passage that I found today is from volume 11, March 3rd, 1912. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing. It's kind of short if you think about considering other passages. It's about like half a page on a PDF file. So Louisa writes, continuing in my usual state, my adorable Jesus came and told me, my daughter, the soul who does my will loses her temperament and acquires mine. Just as in my temperament, there are many melodies which form the paradise of the blessed, such that music is my sweet temperament, music the goodness, music the sanctity, music the beauty, the power, the wisdom, the immensity, and so on with all the rest of my being. The soul receives within herself all the variety of these melodies, taking part in all the qualities of my temperament. As she goes along doing even the most tiny actions, she makes a melody for me. And as I hear it, I immediately recognize this music as one taken by the soul from my will, my temperament. So I run to listen to it, and I like it so much that I remain recreated and cheered from all the wrongs which other creatures do to me. My daughter, what will happen when these melodies will pass into heaven? I will put the soul in front of me. I will play my music, and she will play her own. We will flash each other lightning. The sound of one will be the echo of the sound of the other. The harmonies will mix together. It will be clearly known to all the blessed that this soul is nothing less than the fruit of my will, the portent of my will, and all heaven will enjoy one more paradise. These are the souls to whom I keep repeating, had I not created heaven, I would create it only for you, because I place in them the heaven of my will, and I make of them the true images of myself. And I go wandering in these heavens, delighting and playing with them. To these heavens, I repeat, had I not left myself in the sacrament, for you alone I would have done it, because there they are my true hosts. Just as I could not live without a will, in the same way I could not live without these heavens of my will. Rather, they are not only my true hosts, but the purpose of my Calvary and my own life. These heavens of my will are more dear to me and more privileged than the tabernacles and the consecrated hosts themselves, because in the host my sacramental life ends as the species is consumed, while in these heavens of my will the life of my will never ends. They serve as my hosts on earth, and they will be my eternal hosts in heaven. To these heavens of my will, I add, had I not incarnated myself in the womb of my mother, for these souls alone I would have incarnated myself, and for these I would have suffered my passion, because I find in them the true fruit of my incarnation and passion. So there's actually a lot of material in here that really struck me. So try not to ramble on and on and on about it. But I think one thing here, it was that what caught my attention, first of all, was when he says, the soul who does my will loses her temperament and acquires mine. Because before I entered religious life in Alabama, I didn't know about the four temperaments, a choleric, melancholic, sanguine, and phlegmatic. Like, I didn't know about that until I, you know, met Mother in the monastery and all that. And I remember once that Mother had said that Jesus has 25% of all of the goods of each of the temperament because he's perfect. And so like, and then when we die more to ourselves and become more nothing, we become like Jesus, we imitate like Jesus because we're in the divine will. So in a way we become more like Jesus. So when he says is that the soul who does my will loses her temperament and acquires mine. So what Jesus is saying here is that's also part of it, that with us, the main reason also why, you know, we struggle so much or is because of the human will, because of sin, you know, and weakness. We suffer from like the effects of nature, like things that we inherited, negative things. Like I can speak for myself. I know some negative things about me. I know some of it was inherited, like it runs like in one side of the family or another. So for me, that's already a struggle that I have to deal with since birth because it's ingrained in me. So what Jesus say here then, it reminds us about the whole point about like becoming nothing, renouncing our will, wanting to do God's will, asking Jesus in all of our thoughts, words, and actions, calling him to partake in our acts and let him do it through us. In a sense, that's the way that we can truly cleanse ourselves from evilness and the effects of original sin, and let him do it in us. If we empty ourselves and let him fill us, that then that's the only way that we can be truly happy and be pleasing to him. So, and then what also caught my attention here, I guess, was all of the talking about music, because we're very musical over here. We love music and all that. So, and it reminded me how he was saying here that he, when, let me see, where is it? Okay, she makes a melody for me. And as I hear it, I immediately recognize this music as one taken by the soul from my will, my temperament. So I run to it and I like it so much that I remain recreated and cheered from all the wrongs which other creatures do to me. So here, what I got from here is that to Jesus, every single person that he created, we're each a song. Like we have our own song, our own musical note, our own sound, and he recognizes us by that. So for me, that reminded me, there was this saying, I think it was a Chinese saying, an old Chinese saying, I'm sure I'm going to butcher it, but basically what it said was that life is like a giant jigsaw puzzle and every single soul is a puzzle piece. If one person is missing, the jigsaw puzzle is incomplete. And that always struck me for all these years when I first heard it, because it made me think about abortion. You know, how many missing puzzle pieces do we have in the whole history of humanity? And we'll never know what impact that person would have on humanity. So here what Jesus saying in this sense that each of us has a song, we're each a certain piece of music and he recognizes us. So that was beautiful. It's like we have our own identity that shows our own uniqueness, our originality, why God created us. He created us like to have our own identity. And then what was beautiful when he was describing what will happen when these melodies will pass into heaven, I will play my music and she will play her own. The harmonies will mix together. And this also called to mind also like the fact that if you listen to like certain musicals, that it's so brilliant. Some of them, how they wrote the music, two people can sing two completely different tunes. And yet when you put them together, it goes well, like it fits perfectly. And it goes again to show how God in how amazing God is when he created us, you know, he has a plan for us. So when we realize in heaven like the full majesty of God and how he made everything and planned everything. It's just beautiful how he was saying that the harmonies will mix together. And then when he was saying, had I not created heaven, I would create only for you. And then at the very end, he repeated, had I not incarnated myself in the womb of my mother, for these souls alone, I would have incarnated myself. And for these, I would have suffered my passion, because I find it in the true fruit of my incarnation and passion. I thought this was so appropriate right now in Lent, because, you know, many times I think Mother was the one who said like that God loves us so much that even if he were the only single person on earth, he would have gone through the whole passion, all the physical, mental, emotional, like sufferings that he went through, the passion, he would have done all that for just one person, if that was only one person. So for him to say that he would have done the incarnation, he would have done the passion, and he would have done all of creation if it was just even for one person. So again, this passage just really shows the depth. And this is just scratching the surface. This is just the tip of the iceberg of God's great love for us. And so, I don't know, that's what I got from this passage.
Beautiful.
What Sister Scholastica was saying, it reminded me the music and the harmony is like this new song from also the passage from the Book of Revelation that is repeated many times in the Divine Office. They were singing a new song, this 144 chaste ones that follow the Lamb everywhere it goes. So I really think those are the ones who live in the divine will, and they know this new song. No, it just reminded me. And also one thing that Sister Grace before said, it came to my mind when she was speaking about the nothingness and littleness. We just saw some days ago something about the Brother Joseph who created the Ave Maria Grotto.
In
Coleman, Alabama. What struck me is like the motto was at parvus magnum, from little to great. And the monks, how they described also like, God chooses these little souls, very little souls, to do great works, even as Luisa. And what struck me is how they compared it to physics. When you split the atom, like the tiniest particles, no? When you split it, the huge energy comes out. So the smallest the particle, the biggest bigger the energy, and how this can be really applied to the spiritual world. I mean, not only to physics, to material world, and how really God needs our nothingness and this splitting. How he also, with all these things and suffering, how he really reduced Luisa's soul just to be able to receive him, receive the Holy Trinity to dwell in her. Yeah, this really made me think. So, and also from this passage that I was reading from 11 September 1922, the primary purpose of all that God has done in creation and redemption is that the creature would live in the divine will. Only in the divine will is there true rest. So that's the primary purpose. So Jesus says, now the fulfillment of the work of creation was that man would fulfill our will in everything. Our will was to be the life, the food, the crown of the creature. And since it is not yet so, the work of creation is not yet fulfilled, and neither can I rest in it, nor can it rest in me. It always gives me something to do, and I yearn for this fulfillment and rest. This is why I love and want so much that the way of living in my will be known. Nor will I ever be able to say that the works of creation and redemption are fulfilled if I do not have all the acts of the creature extending in my will like a bed to give me rest. And I, what beautiful rest shall I not give to her in seeing her coming back on the wings of our will with the seal of the fulfillment of creation. My womb will be her bed. Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. And then later he said, these souls, they will be few, be it even one alone. Was it not one alone, he who withdrawing from my will, disfigured and broke my plans and destroyed the purpose of creation? So he talks of Adam. In the same way, one alone can adorn it and fulfill its purpose. However, my works never remain isolated. So I will have the army of the souls who will live in my will, and in them I will have my creation restored. All beautiful and striking, just as it came out of my hands. Otherwise, I would not have so much interest in making my will known. So, yes, here he talks about the souls who will live in his will and later in the era of peace, in the divine will era. And then will God finally, the purpose will be finally fulfilled. There will be this true rest of the work done. And so this peace, like everybody is yearning for this real peace, no? Like we were talking before, sometimes during the prayer, like the distractions and everything. It just came to my mind now what we were listening. We were listening during lunch, a talk from one father. He was saying something like when you feel distracted, the thoughts that don't come from you, like tempted or something. He said, just be thankful, like put your heart to work shut your mind, no? And put your, open your heart. Find something to be thankful for and find something to obey. So these two things are like faculties of heart, we could say, that can really like open us to God, like to shut the thoughts. And just like be in front of the God, to plop. He was saying just to plop. Like to...
That is the question.
Yeah, it just reminded me now one picture, like when we were when I was looking something for the Lectio Divina, no, and there's this stage of contemplation. There were little figures, and for the contemplation there was like a little man who had heart for going out from him towards God, towards high, no. So this is really contemplation, a work of heart, we could say, but not like work, oh, I need to do something, but like I want to. It is really amazing and astonishing that we have this possibility and this knowledge to do the acts and rounds. It's like the greatest job ever. thank you.
And be thankful. You're right. You know, I'm being thankful right now for St. Maximilian Kolbe and to our Blessed Mother. St. Maximilian Kolbe, probably the greatest Marian devotee, he says, quote, "The image of the Immaculate, our loving mother, will one day replace the large red flag or a large red star over the Kremlin, but only after a great and bloody trial." So Our Lady wins. Mother, we have San Marino with us. Would you like to go there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, they're here.
San Marino.
The sisters are.
Oh, they're there. Okay. San Marino sisters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where? I don't see
them.
Oh,
no, that's not them. No.
Oh, I heard someone.
Okay.
I'm hearing voices.
They're there.
Can you hear?
Should we be concerned? We're hearing voices.
Anyway, what I wanted to say too is what she was saying about the priest we were talking to is about Father Stephen Valenta. Yeah. He's dead now, God bless him. But we were listening to old tapes from a conference some years back in the 90s. And his whole thing, you know, he wrote a book, From the Head to the Heart. Mm-hmm. And he says, we're human beings, not human doers. We want to do. We're always doing. Our pride makes us want to accomplish all the time. But he says, we're supposed to just be with God. And so that's why she was saying, he said, just plop. Sometimes just need to plop and be with God, you know. So anyway, if the San Marino sisters want to share something with us since it just got on.
Can you hear us, Mother?
Yeah, but it's not as good as when we used the handheld mic, sister.
Okay, let's try the handheld.
That'd be great.
We try with the microphone.
Okay, can you hear us with the microphone?
Yeah perfect. You. Perfectly.
No. Yes, you can?
Yes, good.
Okay, Mother. But we cannot hear you.
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
We can't hear you. So is this okay?
Okay, so we'll just have to deal with the PC mic then.
If you get a little bit closer to the when you talk.
Okay.
You want to go first?
No, you can.
You go first?
Okay.
Sister Gemma.
This is just listening to them.
This is Sister Gemma.
We have today we have a tablet. We are using a tablet.
Okay. I would like to read volume 26, July 14, 1929. And the title is How the Divine Will Wants Absolute Freedom in Order to Form Its Life. And Jesus says to Luisa, my daughter, do not be surprised that if my divine will does not leave you free in anything, because it does not want to form simple acts and works, but life. And to one who must form a life, continuous acts are needed. And in the continuous act, if the continuous act ceases, the life cannot grow, nor be formed, nor have its true existence. And so this is why my divine will, wanting to form its divine life in you, wants to be free. It wants absolute freedom. And it reminds me this that when Jesus said that he wants absolute freedom of one of the I think it's in the first volume that Jesus said to Luisa, I don't want you I want you completely free because otherwise I can't talk to you because you are not completely free. And I remember this episode when Luisa was talking to her family about family stuff, and Jesus appeared to her, and Jesus told her, I don't want you to be involved in these things. And I'm sure it would have been something very, very simple, like a normal family conversation. But Jesus told her, I don't want you to be involved in that. I want you to be completely free, otherwise I leave you. After I read that, I was thinking, wow, and Jesus doesn't want, so jealous because he loves her so much that he doesn't want her to be involved in these things. And the same with us. I was thinking the same with me. He probably doesn't want me to be involved in things that are not regarding Jesus, but maybe worldly stuff. And sometimes I feel like, why I cannot feel Jesus? Probably because I'm full of worldly stuff. And maybe it's good, especially in this Lent time, to empty ourselves, maybe listen less news, listen, I don't know, things that are not just for curiosity. Sometimes we go and check things for curiosity, but not really because they're putting ourselves close to Jesus. And we have to remember that if we are not free of all these things, Jesus cannot talk to us. He doesn't have space to enter in us. So I found it very interesting. And then he also say, and then with insensate acts that it possesses by nature, it pours itself over the creature, and extending with its more that maternal wings of light, it invests each fiber of the heart, each heartbeat, breath, thoughts, word, work, and step. it warms it, and with its kiss of light, it impresses its life in each act of creatures. And while destroying the human life, it constitutes its very self as divine life within her. And on the first part that I read, it say that my daughter, do not be surprised if my divine will. Where is it? Sorry, I lost the part. You have to do, and to one who must form a life, continuous acts are needed. And if the continuous act ceases, life cannot grow. And then when I was reading this, I was thinking as when a baby is conceived, and is in the womb, but the mother needs to do continuous acts for the baby to grow for 9 months. I'm sure the mother will do a lot of acts. And this is with the divine will. We cannot do only one act. And then if we want Jesus to grow in us, we have to do continuously acts in the divine will. And then the more acts we do, as Mother always tells us, and the more Jesus grow in us, and we diminish. So it's important to keep Jesus always in our heart. And as Sister Gloria was saying before, we have to remember, to keep Jesus as a pregnant woman has the baby in his womb, and is always carrying the baby. And so it's the same with us. If we have that same concept that we are carrier of Jesus, then everything. It will be different. We pay more attention to Jesus, yeah. To Jesus inside of us.
Thank you, sister. You know, we have a different twist now from San Marino. It's like with the tablet now, it feels like we're on the water, like we're on a boat. You know, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving with the wakes, and you know, it's very very nice, very soothing.
Oh, no. Okay.
No.
Okay. My passage, April 23rd, 1916, volume 11. When we first started, Mother was talking about, actually, she was talking about this, you know, how, you know, sometimes the things that we're watching, that can be distractions and the temptation to look into things. And it's a good time for us to kind of step away from that. Lent is. Jesus says here, he talks about his passion. He says, my daughter, each pain I suffered, each drop of blood, each wound, prayer, word, action, step, etc., produced a light within my humanity, which embellished me in such a way as to keep all the blessed enraptured. Now at each thought that the soul has about my passion, at each act of compassion, reparation, etc., she does nothing other than draw light from my humanity and be embellished in my likeness. So each additional thought about my passion will be one more light, which will bring her eternal joy. And this brought me to, I think I'm pretty sure it was on volume, I mean, on the hour, the 19th hour in the passion, but to a few things where Jesus was saying how, you know, like he's, whenever we think about his passion, he's there, you know, and if you think about it in the divine will, it's happening, you know, he's eternal. So when you're really thinking about it, you place yourself there, and you can really repair and do a lot for him and console him during that time. But also he says that whenever she pulls away from that, like he feels that. So that kind of made me think like, wow, what are the things that are kind of, you know, just nonsense things that I put my mind on. You know, the thing is, you know, our thoughts. So your thoughts are filled with whatever you're looking at, whatever you're, like the news, the, you know, even things that are not necessarily bad things. But at the same time, are they things that bring me to Jesus? Are they things that, you know, if we have to,
like I think about, I want to, you know, everyone has their job or that they want, that they have to do, but also that they love to do. Well, you know what? I want to prepare for Jesus. I want to work for Jesus. I want to, you know, work for souls. I want to save souls. So it's like, if you think of it that way, then it's like, wow, you know, I really don't want to waste my time in this stuff. You know, I want to really, really work for souls. It's, you know, souls are being lost left and right, you know, to, you know.
And this is what Jesus was doing. And now it reminds me of the passage that, the same passage that Jesus was telling Luisa, do what I was doing in the house of Nazareth. And yeah. He was doing glorifying God and praying for souls, for the salvation of souls.
And he even said, when you have more of this in your soul, like when you have more of this contemplating of Jesus and his passion, he said he has more to lean on. So when the trials come, when the temptations come, there's more that he has to lean on within
to give us more, to get us through,
because, you know, of course the trials and temptations are going to come. That's just part of the way things are, but he has more to lean on to give us strength to, and we want to be victorious for Jesus, you know? So, he's giving us, like this passage says, basically you think of my passion and each thought and each even, movement of the heart, you know, that you have towards the passion, it's more light. So if you want to have more light, if you want to have more, strength, you know, think of Jesus, think of his passion, read the passion book. Volume 11 is so good because he gives a lot of explanations. Well, the whole thing's good, but you know, volume 11 gives a lot. Jesus talks a lot about how his passion, contemplating the passion and reading the passion does. Now I'm not going to go into this, but the passage after this, May 13th, 1916, he talks about how to pray. Jesus says, pray like me. You know, this is the way I prayed. He satisfied the Father and repaired for all. So anyway, if y'all want to read that, I think that it's a good read.
Also, it's about what I have. It's similar.
It was May 3rd, 1916. Okay, it's now go
similar,
ahead.
Similar, yeah. Okay, and about the same topic of the last passages of the Sister Benedicta. My meditation is about the hour of the passion that I am really enjoying in this time, and specifically the 12 noon hour, the first hour of agony on the cross. And Sister Benedicta was talking about how to pray.
I guess they're gone.
No, it's probably
us. We're here. We are here. Can you hear us?
No. Can you hear us? Oh, not sure, but the audio.
Yeah, nothing changed.
Okay, sorry.
Can't hear Peter.
I wasn't talking, Mother. Well, now I am. I know it's hard to believe I wasn't talking, but I wasn't.
I guess the sisters are gone, right?
No, they're still here. They're still here.
We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, for some reason, our thing just turned off. It went to sleep.
Okay.
Maybe he got bored.
Okay. And probably if we don't touch the screen, okay. So we was talking about Jesus tell Luisa in what way we have to pray and in what way we have to enter in the prayer of Jesus. I was meditating by the 12 noon hour, the first hour of agony on the cross. And the part who take my attention was here. I start to read here. Jesus is on the cross. Luisa is in contemplation of Jesus on the cross. And she say, as you silently hang on the cross, I behold in your interior, you desire to offer the Father sanctification on behalf of all. You thank him and offer satisfaction on everyone's behalf. You implore forgiveness for all. And we know that this is the message of the gospel, is the forgiveness. But he said, she said after, and beseech him the grace of them never offending you again. I don't know, this part touched very strong my heart, because it's not the news, because in one way from the catechism, we know that every time we go into the sacrament, we receive the grace to be less attached to the sin. So we receive the grace. Okay, we know this, but reading this word, that this word are living word, we can understand that we receive this grace from the relation between Jesus and the Father. And Jesus offered all his person, and specifically all his passion, for obtaining us the grace to no more sin. So how much grateful we have to be to Jesus for receiving this big grace, because it is the fruit of his passion. And so she said, and beseech he the grace of them never offending you again. In order to obtain this from the Father, you recapitulate and offer up your entire life, from the first instant of your conception to your last breath. So before we were saying that it's so important to offer all our works, all our little and big pains for saving souls. And this is the recipe that Jesus is giving us, to enter in his prayer, to enter in his prayer, in his relationship with the Father, and to re-offer to the Father all his life, from his conception until the last breath. And after, in this hour, Luisa expressed her desire to do the same thing that Jesus is doing to the Father, offer his life. And there is a specific, I don't think it's a technique, but it's very light, because for every part of the life of Jesus that she offered, there are a specific word, a specific verb. She say, I thank you, I ask you forgiveness, I ask you the grace, and I offer you. So is a way important to understand in what way we have to enter in this prayer. Because usually we can say, oh, Jesus, forgive us, and we stop. We don't receive the grace. It's only one part. Or we can say, Jesus, I offer, Eternal Father, I offer you this. Okay, the Eternal Father can ask us, who are you? So we have to thank Jesus. So we have to recognize the part that Jesus did. His love, he make all his person for us. After, we have to recognize our sinful nature. After, we have to ask the grace, and after we have to offer, because at that point, it is not more ourselves that we offer, it's Jesus in us. So it's very simple, but it's an important dynamic that we have to follow. And this we can do for each part. Luisa start from the head of Jesus, the eyes, the ears, the face, the mouth, all the person, the shoulders, the foot, the hand, and she finish with the heart. So she start with the head of Jesus, and she finish with the heart. And specifically, when she start from the head, she asked forgiveness, because she realized that we receive many grace of good inspiration. But we are not grateful. We are not faithful for this inspiration. And after, when she finished with the heart, she say, there is a part I didn't sign. She said, with the heart, repairing with the heart of Jesus, we have to recognize that it's only a grace to love with this heart. But every time we say, I am not able to love Jesus, I have a bad heart. Yes, because we don't follow his inspirations. So all start from the head, all the inspiration that he give us. And we have to arrive to have a new heart, his heart in us.
Bravo. And
also, I stop at you.
No, you can continue. We have a few more minutes, sister.
And also, after my mother at the beginning was was telling that there is a very strong pain that we can offer, the pain of the privation of Jesus. And there is the passage from volume 12, April 2, 1917. And then Jesus told to Luisa, "My daughter, press yourself to my heart and draw life. But know that the pain which satisfies me and pleases me the most powerful, the one which most equals me and is able to stand before me is the pain of my privation, because it is divine pain. You must know that the souls are so bound to me as to form many links connected together within my humanity. As souls are lost, they are break these links, and I feel the pain as if one member were detaching itself from the other. Now, who can connect these links together? Who can weld them in such a way as to make the split disappear? Who can make them enter into me again in order to give them life? The pain of my privations, because they are divine. My pain for the loss of soul is divine. The pain of the soul who cannot see me or feel me is divine. Since they are both divine pains, they can kiss each other, be linked to each other, and stand before each other, and have such power as to catch the escaped souls and link them in my humanity." This is the big fruit of the pain of the privation of Jesus. Save souls.
Amen. Well, we're almost out of time. Mother, do you have something else? We can go as far as long as you have time. I have time. Oh, can't hear.
I just want to share a little bit about the suffering of Jesus. This is Lent. I hope everybody's reading the Passion Book. Between the monks and us, we're all reading. We have the whole 24 hours every day. So I want to encourage people to do that if you're not doing it. But our Lord was telling Luisa here, he says it's most of his divinity operating his humanity. It's more pure light brought me pains at every breath, at every heartbeat, at every movement in my whole person. Nothing was hidden to it. Either that which was needed in order to restore the glory of the Father or on the part of creatures or their offenses, or that which was needed in order to save them. Therefore, it spared me nothing. Its most pure light crucified my most intimate fibers, my heartbeats of fire. And so it made of me the perpetual crucified. And not only in my hands and feet, rather its light scanning me completely crucified the most tiny particles of my person. I, if creatures knew what my divine will made my humanity suffer for love of them, they would be drawn to love me as by a powerful magnet. But for now, they cannot, because their taste is rough and profaned by the human will, and they would not enjoy the sweet fruits of the pains of my divine will. More so, since by living at the bottom in the human will, they would not understand the height, the power, the attitude, the goods which the divine will contains. Yeah. But the time will come when the supreme will, making its way in the midst of creatures and making itself understood more, will manifest the pains which my eternal will made for humanity suffer. So, you know, I think we should really meditate on the sufferings of our Lord, how much he loves us, how much he suffered for each one of us. And he would do it, like Sister said, if only there was one of us alive, he would have done all of that for just one of us. So, you know, we just have to meditate on his love. He loves you so much. If you knew how much he loves you, you'd die of joy. You couldn't handle it. So he keeps it hidden from you. But know that, you know, he suffered tremendously, suffering that we can't even imagine. I encourage people, too, if you can watch the Passion movie, during this time of Lent. It helps you understand somewhat of what he suffered for us. But he says his suffering, his interior suffering, was much greater than his physical sufferings. So even what Mel Gibson produced, the Passion movie, is only a drop, a little bit of what he suffered. His interior suffering, because of his great love for each one of us, was immense. So meditate on his passion. I encourage you to read the Passion book. Our Lord said to Louisa that every word read in the Passion book, of allowing him to read it in you, in his divine will save us all.
I think Mother froze. It was giving us a warning. It was sort of quaggling back and forth. Okay, now we're back.
Okay.
You froze, Mother. You're thawed now, though.
Where did I stop? What's the end of last thing I said?
I don't remember because I was fooling, colliquiting with all my things here. Just trying to
meditate,
get it back.
On his, all I can do is just encourage you to meditate on this suffering, to read the Passion book. He gave many promises with that Passion book. So I encourage people to read it, meditate on it, put yourself in the place of Jesus as you read it, so you can really appreciate his great love for you and how much he suffered for each one of us.
And we do meditate on the 24 hour of the Passion,
yes.
Mother.
Yeah, we do in the 24 hours of the Passion and with the monks and us. And you can get friends to do it with you. Our Lord promised that those places where the Passion book is read, they will not experience a chastisement. So since it still looks like war is coming to the world, we don't know. But, you know, we know that with prophecies that it may enter into every country in the world. I encourage you to read that Passion book and meditate on his Passion while you have time. So God bless you all.
Mother, I'd like to end with a little bit of a quote here, and then I'm going to ask you if you would end us with a prayer. But the quote, I think it's very apropos to the way we ended the program. Again, in Article 67 of the Catholic Catechism, it talks about the role of the mystics, which is to make what's already been given to us better understood. So I have a quote here from the 17th century Venerable Bartholomew Holzheiser. And she writes, quote, or he writes, my wife's Filipino, so everything's he, she. I get confused sometimes. Okay, here it goes. It says, when everything has been ruined by war, when Catholics are hard-pressed by traitorous, co-religious, and heretics, when the church and her servants are denied their rights, the monarchies have been abolished, and their rulers murdered, then the hand of Almighty God will work a marvelous change. Something apparently impossible according to human understanding. That is the gift of living in the divine world.
Divine will coming.
All roads lead to the divine
world. So we are living in a wonderful time because this is the time for the renewal. God is bringing the divine will upon the earth, so we will live on earth as they do in heaven, and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. But all of this destruction and this tearing away has to happen first. In order for the world to be healed, it needs to be go through the surgery. Going through a surgery right now, so that we can get to this wonderful, beautiful time that our Lord has promised.
Well, Father, that sounds like a closing prayer to me. Is there anything else you want to add to that, or
let's just pray that we can all understand and love our Lord and understand His passion, how much He suffered for us. To ask Him for the grace, dear Lord Jesus, we ask You through the intercession of Your Mother that we will receive the grace during this Lent to understand how much You suffered for each one of us and the great love You have for each one of us. Amen.
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 Amen. And now I'm going to. Thanks be to God for everything and for Mother and the sisters, and we keep each other in prayer. So I'm going to allow everyone now to unmute themselves if anyone would like to, and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters.
So be awesome. Goodbye, sister.
Thank you, Mother.
Love y'all.
Thank you, Mother. It was wonderful.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother. Sisters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's on her screen.
Thank you.
Did you know that? It's a screen thing.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you.
I can hear everybody, but I don't think they can.
Thank you, Peter.
Are you? Oh, we can hear you.
Okay.
Hi, Peter.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, you again. Thanks, Mother. Thanks, sisters, for spending the time with us again. See you in 2 weeks.
Beautiful. Oh,
if you haven't had enough of Mother and the Sisters, every Thursday morning on Radio Maria, the School of Mary, you'll get another dose of Mother and the Sisters every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So we'll see each other soon, God willing. Keep the faith. Keep driving. Love everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.